You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for the Boner Planet Podcast is presented by
Dead Downwind, Tinks, Shadowhunter Blinds, Burris Optics, Dead Ringer, The Grind, Bomar Archery, Element Outdoors, Reveal Cellular Camera, HHA and HHA USA, Black Eagle Arrows,
Cobra Archery,
Camp Chef,
Novix Outdoors,
and caffeine support provided by Deer Camp Coffee.
Man, thanks for joining us, man. How are you?
Good. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I sound great. What, are you in the field right now?
I am leaving the field right this moment. I am, actually.
Dude, you got to be literally the biggest hunters I know, which is really cool and ironic that you own bowhunting.com because of that, which is really exciting. I think that's one of the coolest things, man. Hey, I got a ton of questions for you. I hope you're ready.
Yes, I was born ready, right? That's what you're supposed to be in life. That's the only way to make it nowadays.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I'll give you.
If you're not ready, you get left behind, right?
Yeah, that's true. I'll give you the question I had for Justin. I was going to ask him what it's like getting so many hugs from Todd.
That's a good question for Justin. I can't answer that. I know how he would answer that. He would probably say he absolutely hates it, but he keeps him on his toes. I keep on his toes.
That's too funny. No, but
trust me, he doesn't give me hugs. He always gives me jabs. Wouldn't you rather be on his side? I mean, he gets hugs. I get all these jabs all the time. I'd rather be getting hugs than jabs.
Yeah, I hear
you. I don't know about you, but that's my feelings.
Yeah, no, I get it. I get it. So I was going to ask you, because, you know, I mean, you're always like, honestly, you know, I always see these huge bucks you're shooting and stuff. So I always wondered, I was like, I wonder what Todd's biggest buck is to date, and what would that be?
You know, I hate even talking about it because it happened so many years ago. I feel like kind of a loser. I haven't been able to track down a bigger one. That 192 is still my biggest buck to date.
192.
I had chances, and you know, that sweetness buck for a couple of years that I was able to at least see with my eyes. You know, he was 220. That was an absolute freak deer. But honestly, I mean, since those two, I don't know that I've seen a deer even close to those two bucks in all the hours that I've been sitting, questioning myself, what am I doing here right now?
And where do you do most of your hunting? Is it Illinois or Wisconsin or what, in that area?
No, primarily Illinois. I live in Illinois, so definitely very fortunate with Illinois. I mean, listen, I mean, everyone thinks there's millions and millions and millions of secrets with this stuff, right? But, you know, sometimes it just takes also just being in good spots, right? I mean, as much as we want to, you know, I mean, listen, I think Justin actually is the one who said this years ago. I mean, you know, you can't kill what's not there, right? I mean, you know, you can sit and sit and sit in spots, and I've had those spots, and the reality is, I, you know, we all have this dream, right? We all want this to be looking this way and to turn this way and bam, you know, and there he is, you know, and it happens and it definitely does happen in this world. But the reality is, you know, with trail camera data nowadays and, you know, having your units out and talking to friends in the neighborhood, I mean, you know, if you just don't have a big one on that particular year, you know, sometimes you just got to move off to other spots, right? And that's, I think that's one of the things that I've learned the most is, you know, you might be sitting in spot A, but if odds are you've got two bucks you'd rather shoot in spot B, maybe better off shifting over to spot B. And if you don't have a spot, you know, for that particular wind on that particular day, then you got to make your moves, right? I mean, I think that's part of the reason why some of the saddle hunting has gotten more popular and you know, some of the people are just starting to do more of the running guns. You know, you hear people talking more and more about that. I mean, I'm not saying you can't have a good killer ladder stand in one particular spot. And I have those spots where, you know what, if you just go and sit there maybe every single day, a good one's going to come by at some point, but that doesn't sound like very much fun. Yeah, I kind of like, you know, I'd rather have the challenge and be moving around.
Or if you're like me in Michigan, then you just have to leave the whole state. I mean, there's not much I can do here.
I've seen some pretty big bucks in Michigan. I mean, I think Illinois or Wisconsin or Michigan or any of these states all have their pockets, right? And it's That's trying true. To get yourself into those pockets. And I think, you know, I think the word that I use more and more the older I get, right, is this word of expectations, right? Like, I mean, you just got to set the expectations right. I mean,
yeah.
You know, and I think if you have your expectations, when I would go and hunt my farm in Wisconsin, which I recently sold, you know, the likelihood of me seeing a deer there at the caliber of what I have here in Illinois, it's not the same. I mean, it's just not the same. But you just got to go with that mindset of saying, hey, this is what's here. This is the buck that I'm chasing. This is what I'm looking for. And that's your expectation, right?
Yeah. So, Todd.
How about me? How about you for a second now? Come on now. You've been, you know, forget about just me here now. You've been living the dream too. Don't be sitting here acting. Don't be acting as if Todd at bowhunting.com loves to do this stuff, started this thing. Now, listen, you started, you know, you started on your own and you built this baby up and you've got a great thing going.
Took some time, but I'll be honest with you. You and I have talked about this a little bit at ATA different times. We've seen each other.
ATA, what's that?
Yeah. It has been.
It's coming back.
Yeah, it's coming. It's coming hard too. But it has been a very interesting ride. And you know, we've always done Bow Hunter Planet as more of a hobby and just an enjoyment thing because we all work and have day jobs. And so for us, it's always been this kind of like, how can we do something fun that just kind of, if we can help the industry grow as a whole, just because in our opinion, it's always been very important for the heritage to keep going. And you guys have done an awesome job at that as well. And I think that's one of the inspirations for me to keep going has been just working with people like yourself and other people in the industry and just talking. And that's why I've been starting these live Instagrams. It's just nice to get together with other people doing what we do and just discuss that and let people understand like what's happening out there. You know, there's so many things going on all the time and we're always busy. I mean, you guys are busy all the time doing stuff. It's not just hunting. There's so much more stuff involved. And I think sometimes you just, you know, this is the great part of it, right? The part you really want to be in right now. Everybody wants to go out and hunt. Everybody wants to shoot a one. You totally understand. And there are perks to this industry. There's some cool stuff I've done with media hunts and things like that that I would never have done had we not done this. But it's been a great experience. And the one thing I learned the most is that everybody, pretty much everybody, is awesome in this industry. It really cool people. And that's been, I think, in my opinion, one of the coolest things I've seen, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I always talk to people about, you know, you got to like what you're doing. And I definitely have been very, very fortunate. You know, I've always loved computers. I've always loved technology. I've always loved seeing people benefit, you know, from the use of technology. And back in the way, way, way early days, you know, man, you know, look at this, right? Like, seriously, I mean, I'm sitting in a car, you're sitting in an office, we're doing these live stream. I mean, this wasn't, it was out there in the world, but not to the simplicity of grab your cell phone and bam, you know, mm-hmm. you're just doing this stuff, right? I mean, those back in the days, you know, man, you had a forum and you got mail. I mean, it's just amazing how far technology has come, and it's allowed us to do all this stuff, even with the filming of our hunts, right? I mean, mm-hmm. you know, even what we do, like, you know, 20 years ago, it was the monster camera and, you know, just didn't have the technology of available today, you know, with the GoPros and the different camera setups to be able to do the stuff that, you know, that we love to do. But, you know, without getting too around the circle here, I mean, I think anytime you can find a career that you're legitimately interested in, I mean, it doesn't matter whether you're a landscaper, whether you're an arborist, whether you're a hunter, whatever. I mean, anytime you can be as close to a career within the passion you love, there's no doubt it makes getting out of bed a lot more easier in the morning.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah, I think, just in the, I mean, we've been doing this, I think, so we started in 2009. And since that point till now, I mean, the change in tech has been unbelievable, whether it's the cameras, like you said, or the, you know, the ability to have a website, internet, all that stuff, going from forums to YouTube, to Facebook, to Instagram, to TikTok now. I mean, everything's crazy. It's just constantly churning, which is, it's a good thing. I mean, I don't see, there's nothing wrong with progression, but at the same time, it's like, you gotta keep up with it all, right? And I know, you know, both of us have been doing that. Our teams have been working to keep up because it's just constant change. And it's a lot of fun, but still constant change. But hey, what's the history of bowhunting.com? Like, what year did you guys get that thing started and rolling?
Well, I mean, you know, it didn't always start with bowhunting.com, as you know. I mean, it started off with huntingnet.com and, you know, huntingoutfitters.com. And, you know, that was kind of our first big website that we built. You know, that was more of the full-fledged forum, you know, almost 800,000 registered users to that thing back in the day. I mean, that's when forums were hot, you know, hot, you know, and I mean, and Facebook and Instagram, they weren't even things, you know. And then eventually we, you know, we're fortunate we were able to sell that. And, you know, bow hunting has always been my passion. And I figured, you know what, let's hang on to the bowhunting.com, you know, domain name. And I was crazy back in, geez, oh, he's 1995 or six now. I mean, and registered thousands of domain names. I still own, I think, a couple of thousand hunting domain names. The one that I get the most weirdest offers for is rubs.com. I'm not sure the people that are offering me money for that domain name, what their plan intent was. Mine was always thinking of buck rubs, right? But that spun into, you know, the ability to start bowhunting.com after we got rid of the one. Hang on for one second, this farmer's gonna probably talk to me here. You know, from that, it was simple. Like, you know, Justin loved bow hunting. I love bow hunting. I mean, it's what we do. It's what we're most passionate about. And it was a no-brainer, right? I mean, it was like, let's just do this. So, and then at that same time, you know, some of the, you know, filming your own hunts was becoming more popular. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and act like, you know, I, you know, designed this stuff or anything. I mean, a lot of it was just trends that we were jumping on and rolling with. And fortunate for us, we've been able to attract a lot of great people that, you know, are like-minded with what we'd like to do. And before we knew it, just like, you know, like you were talking about, I mean, we've always had the website, you know, skills kind of down pat. And from there it was social media and emails and the web shows and YouTube and Roku and geez Louise, you know, just all that stuff. How long have I known? Yeah, it's one of the questions that just popped in there.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that, actually. I was going to ask that next. Go ahead.
Justin and I, man, Justin must have been like 23 years old when we started together. So, I mean, it's got to be, you know, it might be getting close to one of our anniversaries. I probably own a present or something like that. I don't know the date. Here's my, hang on, I'm sorry.
This is still fun.
I'm taking up half the road here. And, but yeah, so I mean, it's got to be going on at least 33. He's getting older. He's not catching me, but I mean, gosh, every bit of 15, 16 plus years now, you know? So,
wow.
It's been a while. I mean, I can't believe I turned 49 this year already. I mean, I always felt like I was the youngest dude. I remember going to the ATA show and not knowing anybody or anything, and even the SHOT Show, right? And I mean, man, I was walking to that place when I was like 23 years old. It's like, where all the time go? It's crazy. Wow.
It's crazy, isn't it? The change, though. I feel like you know, when we talked, I feel like we talked back in like 2010 or 11. But I know we discussed, and we were just standing around at the ATA talking. But I know we discussed that, like the shift from TV to like online stuff was going to happen at some point, and it just like exploded from TV shows only to then the marketing budgets changed to like online shows, and then, you know, internet more, and now it's like literally 90% internet, 10% TV. It's like craziness.
Yeah, well, I mean, and then of course now with COVID, right? I mean, last year was just insane, and just really ramped everything to the next level. Yep. For sure. I mean, just because people can stream, they had more time to get outdoors. They had, I mean, I've even talked to some people within the magazine trades, you know, where even magazines, you know, subscriptions are up. It's, you know, cause people just flat out have a little bit more time on their hands. But, based on the traffic I've seen the last 2 weeks, I think that trend might be starting to go back to how it was, because it seems like there's people everywhere now. Everywhere I go, I feel like there's a line. But yeah, that's a healthy place to be too. You know, I don't know if where we were last year was a real healthy place. So,
yeah, true that. What's your favorite state to hunt?
You know, I'm spoiled. I'm not going to lie. I mean, I just got lucky and was born in this state. So, I mean, I love Illinois. I mean, just, you know, I mean, it's just, for me, Illinois has just been the bomb. But, you know, I mean, I spent many years hunting in Wisconsin. Wisconsin's a great state to hunt. But to answer your question, I mean, at this point right now, Illinois is still one of my favorite. I mean, Justin and I, you know, went last year and hunted some different, you know, in Nebraska. And, you know, that was kind of a cool place to hunt. So we're starting to kind of reach out and try some other places. But, you know, it's tough. There's only so much time. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, you know, you've only got so many stands, so many days. And then you start figuring in the factors of, you think you have all these stands, and then you look at what wind direction it is, and you're like, well, that just cut that down to, you know, to this many. And then it's just crazy how, you know, how fast the hunting season goes, and you start throwing a trip in there here and there. It's like, whew. I mean, as fast as it starts, it's over. And, you know, it's, but I mean, I definitely want to start trying some other states for sure. You know, when I sold my farm in Wisconsin, you know, actually just a month or so ago, you know, 100% the goal was to, you know, even broaden my hunting arena and start going and doing other things. Like, that is 100% on my list of things to do, because it's easy to get stuck in a trap, right? And just keep doing the same thing. So
how about the other questions I asked you? I was gonna ask you what your favorite animal hunt is. I'm assuming it's a whitetail because you're so good at it, but
you answered the question. I gosh darn it. I mean, there is just something about hunting whitetails that it just never gets old. I mean, it's always a different buck. It's always a different rack. It's always a different situation. I mean, I just never feel like I get bored. You know, turkey hunting. Oh man, you know, I don't know. I mean, I like it. It's fun. I like doing it. But man, there's just, I mean, obviously elk hunting's phenomenal. I mean, I've just started really doing that the last, you know, maybe 4 or 5 years. Maybe I went a little bit earlier, but you know, I'm trying to be a little more, you know, religious with that and going every year, you know, on an elk hunt now. But there's no doubt. There's just something about, for me, I mean, it's different for everybody, but there is just something about whitetails that it's just in my blood. I just love chasing whitetails.
Who taught you how to hunt?
My dad, for sure. You know, it's very, very, very fortunate. You know, hunting is definitely one of those things where if you're just getting into it, you know, and you're on this now, you're watching this, you see this at a later date, whatever. You got to find people that hunt, right? I mean, you got to surround yourself with them. It's not the easiest thing to get into it. You know, for me, I was born into it. My dad loved, you know, hunting, and, you know, he was pretty much just a rifle hunter. And, you know, I was kind of like, when I was younger, you know, you don't know any different, right? So I was just kind of like, okay, you know, this just kind of happens once a year and you go rifle hunting and that's it, right? Yeah. And then as I started getting old, I was like, shit, Dad, this dude, we could be hunting for 3 months. What is this? Why are we going just two weekends? That's ridiculous. You know, like, I mean, I was like, what are you thinking? So, you know, that was kind of like the turning point for me. I'm like, this is ridiculous. We should be hunting all the time, you know? So that's when I really, you know, dived into bow hunting, you know, a lot more. So.
Yeah, that's great. That's cool. Yeah, I agree with you, though. That was one of the things I grew up the same way. My dad taught me how to hunt, and then my brother got into it a little bit more, taught me a little bit more, and then my dad actually passed away, unfortunately, back in 96, and then that kind of changed then for my dad and my brother, then my cousin, and then friends and stuff. But, you know, that whole period of learning, and with my dad, it was always gun and, like, a little bit of bow. My brother got really big into bow hunting, and that kind of helped a lot, because then it kind of just started, you know, weighing on me and then understanding what's going on. But that excitement of having the full, you know, basically the full end of the year to hunt is one of the best. You know, knowing absolutely that the fall hunting, and then we can go whenever we want because we're bow hunters, it's like a huge deal. Huge deal.
Absolutely. I mean, and just to be able to go, well, and you know, it's not even just that, right? When you're into the bow hunting, I mean, It's year round, right? I mean, sure. No, I mean, on a 90-degree day, you don't want to be humping around the world, you know, around the woods. But I mean, it just, you know, for the people that love this stuff as much as I do and you do, I mean, we're doing this all the time. I mean, we love yep. this stuff. I mean, whether it's you're driving down the road and you see this or you see that, and I mean, you know, trail cameras and just, you know, kind of gathering that data and putting all the pieces together. You're just, it's just, man, it's just in your brain. You're just wired for it, you know, constantly.
Yeah. I think that learning too, that, you know, initial phase, most people, you know, they start learning, they learn how to bow hunt, they get a bow, they buy a bow, they start hunting, learn how to hunt a little bit. But like you said, then it actually then turns into a full year thing at some point. Cause then you realize like, oh, well, I need to be mapping this. I need to like figure out my trails. I need to start putting in food plots. So like it does become then the full year. And I think that's the fun part to me is like, that whole planning part, and then, you know, like for you, like in the example would be, you plan for the full year, you turn, and there's a 192, right? I mean, then you know that everything you planned for actually worked, you know, which is a huge excitement, I would assume. Shadow
192. But still. Yeah, I mean, trust me. I mean, I'm still living on that dream because, like I told you, it happened so many years ago. I need to start finding, you know, I got to start. You know, Justin doesn't share his trail camera data with me. Last year? Last year was awesome. I mean, last year I had a great year. Shot 2 great bucks last year. Pretty disappointed that you don't know this.
I do know this. I have to ask
you. Yeah. <I'm> just, I should have asked you that question just to quiz you. But no, last year was a great year. I was very fortunate, able to shoot 2 deer. But yeah, I mean, you know, I've got high hopes for this year. I mean, I think we all start off with high hopes, right? And then sometimes the season starts slipping away, right? But, you know, each year you just kind of keep raising the bar. You keep kind of shifting around. But, boy, I tell you, anytime you can truly hunt down a mature whitetail, I mean, it's never an easy task. I mean, you know, I mean, very seldomly do they just, you know, show up like the way we kind of – you know, and that's just one of those things, right? I mean, you know, whether you're watching TV shows or web shows or you know, on social media, I mean, we always talk about social media, and it's so, you know, that you get on social media, you feel like everyone's shooting turkeys, right? And then you're like, wait a minute, this guy shot this one last year. He's just posting a picture, you know, I mean, you know, you start getting this feeling like you kind of suck, right? Because everyone, you know, all these photos are circulating around the, you know, this Instagram, you start feeling like, geez Louise, everyone's getting them but me. But, you know, I guess the thing to always remember, I think, when it comes to just whitetail hunting is there is no doubt. One thing that I've learned over and over and over, and I think this is just a good thing with life in general, right? Man, you got to be persistent. I mean, you know, it's just not going to happen on the first time out or the first. Sure, it happens to some. But if you're a beginner just getting started, I mean, man, I remember this day, you know, the first buck I, you know, got. And quite frankly, I remember some of the details better of some of the bucks that have gotten away, you know, or I've shot and missed, or even some of the smaller bucks because, you know, some of the details of those animals versus even sometimes the bigger ones that you get, right? I mean, they're all important, but, you know, it's interesting how certain things, I'll never forget this story right now that I'll tell you. This is really, this is a good one. I don't think I've shared this to too many people, but do you remember the string trackers?
Yes.
Okay, so I remember hunting in Wisconsin, right? This is a true story. I'm sitting in the stand. It starts raining, and, you know, man, back in the day, I had a big stabilizer on. I had that string tracker on the end. It was raining, so, hey, I figured, I mean, I was young, guys. This is, I don't know how many years ago. I'm not going to age myself right now. But I had that string tracker on, right? And it starts raining, so my bow is hanging out there. I put my raincoat on. I got my sleeve of my raincoat on like this, and I looked out. Jeez, there's a buck right below my stand. I mean, it was probably only like this big. Yeah, I mean, it was a little guy, you know. But I was like young, and I was like, holy cow, you know, it's right there. He snuck right in on me because it was raining. You know, I figured a smart thing, put my raincoat on. I had my string tracker on, right? And I'm not sure that was the best design in the world. So I go to full draw. And I couldn't get my coat on. It was still just hanging off my arm. So what do? I shoot, right? Like, you're excited. And, of course, you know, it hits kind of the whole deal. I end up, the buck drops. I shoot over the butt. Like, here's his head. I don't know if you can see this. I don't have a picture of a deer anywhere here. But, you know, so I shoot, like, here's his neck, right? I shoot right here. He turns, and the freaking string gets caught in his antlers. He takes off running. I'm holding on to my bow. And I mean, that string tracker is coming out of there as fast as it will come out. Finally, it's gone, right? And the deer gets away. I mean, I didn't hit him. I didn't wound him, nothing, right? It was just over his back, turns. He got it stuck, you know, the string. And I remember my dad coming property going, what the hell is all this string all over the property? You know, because it was everywhere. I mean, it was everywhere. I tried getting as much of it up as I could, but it was just, I don't know how many yards and yards was on that.
Wow.
It was a hell of a story, but it was details ever, like that.
You know, anybody ever shot one with it and actually found the deer?
No, I never used that thing ever again. It seemed like a great idea back in the day. I mean, I couldn't have been more than, I don't know, 14, 15 years old when I did that stunt. But that's what makes it fun. But I mean, you know what, going back to what I was saying is, I mean, persistence pays. Like, you know what? If you're just getting into the sport, I mean, guys, don't fall victim to just watching our show and going on Instagram and having this feeling like everybody is getting an animal, you know, but me, you know, and even when you watch our show and stuff like that, you know, sometimes you just see, you know, this 15-minute thing and it's like, oh man, geez, you know, that guy got another one, you know, but I mean, you don't realize seriously the years and years and hours and thought process and, you know, and failures. I mean, seriously, you know, that goes into actually getting, you know, getting that deer. So keep that stuff in mind for sure. Persistence pays. You got to stay after it.
And that is a life lesson, is that you can say the same thing for starting bowhunting.com or Bowhunter Planet. It's the same thing. There's tons of things and hours of work that go into these things. And that's why I always tell people, they're always like, oh, you know, oh, I want to own my own show or do this or that. It's just like, you can do that, but it's all about persistence and, you know, doing it and getting it done. It's not about, hey, I'm going to take today off and go sit down. It doesn't work that way.
No, I mean, guys, I mean, man, oh, man. I mean, I can't believe just, you know, all the years that I've been doing. I mean, guys, it's always work. Work never stops. I mean, it's constantly work. I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, whether, and that's with anything good in life, right? I mean, it's just work. It's work. And the moment you take your foot off the gas pedal, you're not going to see the same results. I don't care what it is, what you do, whether it's,
Yeah.
Anything in life, you gotta, you know what, you gotta keep that gas pedal down.
All right. Well, Todd, thanks for joining me on the lunch hour. I appreciate that, man.
Yeah, these lunch hours go fast. Are you buying lunch today or what?
I guess so. I'm going to have to.
We get lunch with this? Where do we got to meet you?
I was going to say, we got a few hour drive to meet in the middle.
Well, listen, if you're ever cruising through Illinois here, let us know. We would definitely love to show you our place. And I appreciate you having us on for sure. And again, you know, seriously, you know, you've done a great job, man, and keep up the great work. And we appreciate, you know, you thinking of having us on as well. We definitely appreciate it.
Appreciate that. Appreciate you guys as well. Thank you so much. It means a lot coming from you guys. And keep doing what you do. It's awesome, man. Thank you so much.
Sounds good. We'll see you later. Thanks again.
We'll see you guys. Thanks, everybody, for joining. We'll see you. Bye-bye.